ask a continued interest in your prayers. Got a question for you. Imagine that. When you need comfort from the Word of God, where do you go? Well, okay. Pardon? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Right, but what part of the Word of God? What? Okay, that's good. Anyone else? Is there a passage that's just special to you whenever, you know, so many folks would say 23rd Psalm. Okay, but are there some other passages that are real special to you?
There's a lot in Hebrews too now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Isaiah 26 and 3. Mm-hmm. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. I like that one a lot. But there are lots of good places to go for comfort. Aren't you glad? That's right. That's right.
There's a lot of comfort there too.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right. That's right. John 14. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Yeah. Amen. What a blessing it is to be to have those tokens of his affection that we're one of his. That's it. Romans 8, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Nevertheless, that foundation stands sure. Okay. Lots of verses. Lots of places. Surely the Lord loves us a lot that he would give us such a word to reveal himself to us. Now, obviously, by the Spirit, he has to reveal himself to us first to give us that desire to look into that word. But what a treasure. What an endless treasure. I mean, we ought to be prospectors every day, shouldn't we? Dig it in the Word of God. No telling what kind of nuggets we'll find. And how special that is when we do just read through the Scripture. Maybe it's a chapter, maybe it's a book you've read many times, and all of a sudden the Lord can shine light on something by His Spirit that opens up to us. We never saw it that way. Not that it's changed in any way, but life's experiences oftentimes give us a different perspective on things. What a blessing that is, that God's Word is so rich and so deep that we can keep reading the same portions of it and still find more to rejoice about. Isn't he good? Thank you. And so, day by day, as we go through life, we have such a resource available to us, that we can read, we can be reminded, that we can learn, that we can evaluate ourselves, lay to heart, examine ourselves, see if we're in the faith, okay? But there comes times, and I guess maybe the flooding in Texas kind of directed my mind in this, but as I was reading through and pondering and Psalm 13, when I got to there and was reading that, it just arrested my attention. And in this psalm, David speaks of time when he'd been praying, but his prayers weren't answered. You ever been there? I suspect we've all had those experiences. And you can see the depth of his anxiety, because he four times he says the same thing in just the first couple of verses. Can you just imagine being, say, in that flood, you know, the enormity of that flood out in Texas? Maybe waiting for somebody to come and help you leave, knowing you're going to have to leave everything you got, not knowing what kind of condition it's going to be in when you come back. And these are just things. These are just things the Lord's blessed us with while we live here. I dare say it would be very trying to your heart, to your spirit, to your faith, to your patience. I mean, just very, very trying. I imagine there were thousands upon thousands of people who were earnestly praying that the water wouldn't get as high as it did. But it did. I imagine there was tens and hundreds of thousands of people who were praying earnestly that they wouldn't lose their home in this flood. And they lost it anyway. That'll try your faith. And that's just what's fresh in our mind. Perhaps we've been through experiences in our life where we've had situations like that. The Word of God addresses that. God is merciful to us and has blessed us with a portion. Well, Job, you know what Job went through. We have that recorded. But we have also a man who the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, describes to us as a man after God's own heart. And here he's expressing thoughts of when his prayers are not answered. Now, we know that there were times when David prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord spoke to David, maybe not in an audible voice, but somehow conveyed to him the message of what he was to do in battle. And it obviously didn't take long. And he followed the Lord's directions and had great victories. But just because the Lord answers a prayer quickly on one occasion is no guarantee he's going to give us that answer quickly the next time, is it? And so, you give up? No. You walk by faith. You do some reckoning. What do you know? We know God's on his throne. We know God's faithful. We know God loves us. We may not have all the answers to the things that we're asking, but we know some things. And so this psalm is going to start out with some of those unanswered prayers and some of those groanings and some of that high anxiety, but it's going to end up with reason to praise God anyway. And I can't think of a better lesson in Scripture that we need to tuck away. Maybe life's good right now. Maybe we've got the answers to the prayers that we've been lifting up. And maybe this lesson may not seem like it's all important right now, but I can't think of a better lesson to have in our bag for when the time comes to know it and to be able to draw from it and find some encouragement when we get discouraged. I think I asked the question about comfort, But maybe we should have asked the question about discouragement. What do you do when you're discouraged? You know, that's one of the devil's favorite tools. And he uses it a lot. And it's effective, isn't it? And we need what the Word of God tells us. And there's plenty of places we could go for instruction, but I've just, my mind and my heart rested on this psalm tonight. And so, Psalm 13. Turn to it here. As far as I can tell, we don't have a record of, we know that this is a psalm of David, but we don't have a record of what's going on specifically. We know the nature of it just from the psalm. But in that, a wonderful thing about the Word of God, that it can teach us these principles in such a way that we can take those principles and apply them to our lives tonight and tomorrow and the next day. So, Psalm 13. Let me just read the 6 verses. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now, he's in a strait, isn't he? I mean, he's got some real struggles, and he's been begging the Lord, and the Lord hasn't answered him. You know, the Lord's not obligated to answer us. Years ago, I used to listen to the Christian radio a lot when I had a commute, and I'd have about a 40-minute, or if traffic was good, it was 40 minutes. If traffic was bad, it was a couple hours. So I'd have it on the Christian radio station. I heard a lot of radio preaching. Of course, I'd pick my own sometimes, but as far as other ministers that I wanted to listen to, but there was times I'd just have the radio on. And I remember a man relating an experience of a missionary somewhere who, I believe it was a woman, spent her life ministering to a tribe. And after some time of years of being there, some band in this tribe attacked her, treated her terribly, even though she was well known in that area. And she got real bitter for many years. And her complaint was, Lord, I gave my life to these people, and look how they rewarded me. Even her bitterness, even to the point of saying, Lord, why would you let this happen? She left her family, her friends, spent a lot of years of her life ministering to those strangers. I think she was a doctor or something. But she came to the place where she could say, Lord, I love you, and I'm going to continue to trust you, even if I never get an answer to my question. Sometimes life is like that. And as this psalm opens, David's got some prayers that is just not being answered. He wonders how long. 4 times he asks the Lord, how long? Now, you know, with the relationship and the fellowship and communion that David had with the Lord, for him to be asking such a question and repeating it four times, you can see something of the depth of his anxiety. How long, Lord? He even says forever. You ever felt like that? That the Lord wasn't answering your prayer and feel like he was just clean gone forever? I've had times like that. I suspect you have too. It's hard. What do you do? You know, and even for somebody to come along and try to, as well-meaning as they are, have some words of encouragement, it just doesn't resonate with you, does it? It's a lonely time. It's a hard time. It's a struggle. And the very one sometimes that we turn to for the comfort that we need, the one who can comfort us above all others, it seems like he's not making himself present with us. My point in all of this is that happens. It's not God's fault. And in times, it's not necessarily some evil that we're doing. There are times in our life when we have to grow in our trust to cause us to pause and think about, do we really love? Do we really trust? You know, it's good for us to do that soul searching. It's good for us to realize. You know, I don't know, was it the food for thought or something that I've written recently? We talked about that verse of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3 where he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. I think that's something that hadn't come out yet. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall, what? Or suffer persecution. Same, about the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That, in some respects, in our mind, they say, wait a minute. If we live godly, we're going to suffer persecution? Well, not because God's displeased with our godliness, but we're living in a fallen world. And there's a whole lot of folks in this world who don't care for godliness, who don't want you reminding them that they've gone astray. You know, I used to work with some folks, and I didn't want to take part in their some of the things that they did, and they didn't like, you know what I'm talking about. You've experienced it yourself, I'm sure. Doesn't just happen to preachers. It happens to all of us. If we're living godly, there's times if persecution might be subtle. It might just be shunning. It might be criticism. It might be making fun of. It, whatever the case might be, what it boils down to is persecution. But to be faithful to God is worth more than anything. Any approbation, any approval we might get from the people of the world. Being faithful to God. Well, David is in a strait. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? You ever felt like you've been forgotten of the Lord? Forever? He says. Wow. That. Would our Heavenly Father forget us? Our Father, our shepherd, our closest friend? Would he? Look at Isaiah 49 very quickly here. Isaiah, I got several verses here I want to look at. I'm kind of getting bogged down here, getting started. Isaiah 49, beginning at verse 15. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she would not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Now, in our experience, we may feel like he's clean gone forever. But what does God say? He's not going to forget us. Hebrews tells us, quotes for us, that he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. All right? So, verse 16, Isaiah 49, verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. That help, that security of being in him and in his care. It's ours. There are times where we may not feel that, but know by faith it's ours. God has promised it. Is he not faithful? Yes, he is. So David said, how long? And he even says, forever? The next thing he says, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Maybe we've had some of those experiences. Now, this can happen, can it? And maybe you've had that kind of experience. And I want to notice a couple of passages. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. This is getting close to the end of Moses' teaching of the children of Israel. But he says in Deuteronomy 31, and we'll get verse 6 first. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake. Joshua was going to be leading the children of Israel. Moses encourages him, but that same encouragement that was given to Joshua applies to us as well. The Lord will not fail thee. All right? Now, later in the chapter, verse 17. As the Lord, through Moses is speaking. Let me see. He's giving them some warnings here if they turn and serve other gods. Verse 17, then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. See, the scripture is clear that in disobedience, right often God says he would hide his face from them. So that can be part of our experience. That's not always the reason, but that sometimes is what's happening. All right? He says, and I'll I will hide my face from them. They shall be devoured, and many evils shall be trouble. Many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? All right, so that's one reason why there's times when the Lord hides his face from his people in their disobedience. Verse 18, and I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Just as it was in that day, the Lord still feels the same about that today. Let's also notice in chapter 32, verse 20. Again, speaking of a time when they turned away, he says, verse 20, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Interesting. Faith. Sounds like they had fallen away. Sounds like they maybe turned aside. That faith, sounds like maybe they'd swerved, like all those expressions that Paul used in writing to Timothy, warning about what God's people might do. All right? Let's keep going. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 8. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Yes, God does chasten us in disobedience. Yes, there are times when we're tested to see we were in the faith or not. But God's love is everlasting. He'll not leave us. We're his. We can never be separated from his love, which is in Christ Jesus. There may be times when we've got to hold on to that knowledge. There may be times when we'd have to remember that's the truth. No matter what Satan might be whispering in our ear, no matter what counsel we might be getting from others around us, if we know these truths, then we can hold on to that blessed truth and rejoice in that which the Lord has given us. All right? Read a little bit more here. Isaiah 54. Verse 9, he says, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Oh, bless your hearts. When we have those feelings, and like David was expressing in that psalm, as he was just begging, Lord, how long? When he was in that experience, there's some things we need to remember, that the Lord will not forever forsake us. If we happen to find ourselves in one of those experiences, there's some things that we need to hold on to and walk by faith and trusting in him. Verse 2. I'm back in Psalm 13 now. Psalm 13, verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Now, that's what I've been talking about. When we feel like the Lord's not hearing, the Lord's not answering, we don't feel his presence, we don't feel his smiling approval, when we feel like He's clean gone when we remember the truths that we know and hold on. That's when we're taking counsel in our heart, because we know what he's promised. We know he's faithful. We know he's almighty. We know he's loving. And if we're in a situation like that, it's not that he's clean gone forever. He has a purpose for it. And from some people's experience, we may never know what that, it may never come to our understanding as far as what that purpose is. But our responsibility during those times is to remain faithful to God. Hold on and be faithful. You know, earnestly contend for that faith which was once delivered to the saints. Hold on faithfully unto our God. How long, verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now, when somebody's already in despair and they feel like that their enemies are being allowed to triumph over you, well, that just adds to your sorrow, doesn't it? But how's David looking at his circumstances, at his situation? He's, you might say, bewailing the fact that he doesn't feel God's presence. Certainly we want the Lord's presence. We want to feel it. We want to feel his smiling approval every day. But notice what he says. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? It says in verse 3, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lighten my eyes. I mean, when you don't feel like you're getting light from the Lord, that's darkness in it. I mean, that is darkness. We can stumble around in the dark, but when your soul is experiencing darkness, that's a struggle. That's a struggle. You know, there are other places in Scripture where there are those who were in dire circumstances and expressed it, like David's expressing here. Remember the man at the pool at Bethesda? Let's see, he'd been, impotent for 37, 38 years, something like that. A long, long. And he said, I have no man. And when the water's troubled, I have no man to put me in the water. Now, he had a lot of years experience in that. Not that it's just happened a day or two and thinks it's going to happen. No, he'd been there a long time. But God had mercy on him. God had mercy on him. Remember Lazarus? I'm speaking of the one, Lazarus and the rich man. Not Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, but that other Lazarus. The dogs licked his sores. Daily, while the rich man fared sumptuously. Imagine his plight. But we're not left with that picture, are we? As a matter of fact, things didn't get any better for Lazarus in this life. Wow. You know, that makes us scratch our head, doesn't it? But Jesus told us when he left here, he went to the bosom of Abraham. Now, was that a literal? The Jews would recognize that expression of the bosom of Abraham as the place of favor and blessing and peace and contentment. All the things that he did not have here were going to be his to enjoy eternally. So however we feel about his experience here, he went to the bosom of Abraham. But that other man, now that was a miserable plight, wasn't it? What we need to hold on to. Because there are times when we just don't have the answers. You know, why did all those people have to suffer that flood? I don't know. And nobody else does. The Lord does. But as far as in this world, we know that we live in a fallen world. We know that evil comes upon good people. We know things happen. We know that. So we're back to holding on to what we know. And if we have felt the love of God in our heart, then we know we've reckoned, like Paul did in Romans 8:18, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that is going to be eternal. Not just the temporal and the fleeting. Though it be 100 years in this life, that's still nothing compared to eternity. Wow. Consider and hear me, verse 3. O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. You know, when a person really, and I'm thankful, and I'm speaking from observation and from what I've read and things, because I have never had to deal with the depths of despair like some folks have. But there's some folks who get down, they can't even get out of bed. Don't want to get out of bed, can't get out of bed. Just don't have it in them to do that. I know that happens. And I think that's what David's talking about here. If he got so discouraged, if he didn't feel the Lord's presence, if he couldn't see some light from the Lord, he would get so discouraged that he just wouldn't even want to live. And all I can say from the Word of God is, if we ever feel like that we're going into that kind of discouragement, hold on to what we know. Faithfulness is the only thing that's going to help us. Now, what I mean by that is God's going to be there for us. He's going to strengthen us. But for some reason in our experience, there's times when we just don't feel his closeness. And in those times, it's not a matter of casting off all that we've ever known, but it's a matter of holding on to what we do know, because God is faithful. If he has a reason, and evidently he would have a reason for it if we're going through it, but hold on to the things that we know about our merciful and loving God. Jesus is at his right hand right now making intercession for us. So David goes on. lest mine enemies say, verse 4, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But, you know, there's sometimes in the Word of God when you find that word and you realize there's help on the way. I mean, he was in bad shape, wasn't he? He was discouraged. He was troubled. He wasn't getting answers. He didn't feel like he was getting any light from the Lord. And he was sinking down. Well, if you remember Psalm 40, David there describes what the Lord had done for him when he was in that miry clay. As a matter of fact, that's where the Lord lifted him out of it. He'd lifted me up out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my going, put a new song in my mouth, even praise to my God. Oh, as we think about what we know, God has blessed us so, God has done such wonderful things for us. Don't cast that aside. Hold on to it. But, verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. He hadn't cast it aside. He had a lot of questions. He was still praying for things that he didn't feel like he had answers for, but he had not cast God's faithfulness aside. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. If we've tasted that the Lord is gracious, bless your hearts, the only reason we've done that is because he's loved us first. He's blessed us to know him. He's blessed us, and he's blessed us to know something of his word. We want to know more about it, don't we? We want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But bless your hearts, he's blessed us to know him. He's blessed us to know there's a finished work that Jesus did upon the cross. It was by God's purpose that he sent him into this world. Jesus, through perfect obedience to the will of the Father, accomplished that. He arose from the dead. He's ascended back into heaven. And someday he's coming back to get us and take us home forever. We know this. It's not going to change. We need to hold on to it, because that is where we find encouragement. That is the truth. That is going to stand. No matter what we think about it, no matter how we feel about it, that is the truth. It's going to stand. And we need to be holding on to truth, don't we? So he said, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Verse 6. So what's he going to do about it? There are some activities that will help us, aren't there? I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. On your worst day, you're still blessed. On your worst day, you're still a child of God. You're still saved by the grace of God. You're still saved by the blood of Christ. You still receive blessings. You may not be noticing them. You may not feel like that they're there. But I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, he daily loadeth us with benefits. We're still breathing. We're still walking around. We still have a reasonable portion of health. We just start counting those blessings. You know, a lot of times, I'm not talking about particularly what David was in, but I'm just saying there's times when we get a little cast down and discouraged, but that's when you need to be mindful of your blessings. That's when you need to be counting those blessings, because it'll help your perspective. It'll help your attitude. It'll help your day to remember what we have in the Lord. And it's all by grace. Because you didn't and I didn't deserve one bit of it. Now, as far as I'm concerned, That's wonderful. That's something to praise God for. Can you praise God when you don't feel like it? By faith. It just, you might feel better after you've done a little bit of that. I will sing unto, David knew how to sing to the Lord, didn't he? Oh, who was it? Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon? Probably, it sounds kind of like Spurgeon. He said on one occasion that oftentimes David's heart was more out of tune than his harp. That oftentimes his heart was more out of tune than his harp. Suppose we could get that way sometimes? That our harp might be in better tune than our heart? Counting your blessings. You know, I've lightheartedly said many times in the last 20 years that I can get shouting happy thinking about things that's not going to be in heaven. You know, I guess that's part of counting your blessings. I like counting my blessings because it reminds me of what the Lord's done for us and what we have to look forward to. But I can also get happy of thinking about what's not going to be in heaven. I didn't say who, I said what. What? Because if it weren't for the grace of God, none of us would be there. Isn't that the amazing thing about grace? Is that he saved anybody? That's right. Anybody. So David said, I will sing unto the Lord because. What is it? Psalm 116. I love the Lord because. There's more to it, but I like to stop right there and just think about it. I love the Lord because. Start thinking about some of the reasons. Well, now that he's loved us, think about some of the reasons we love him in return. Here, David said, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I'm glad there was a but in there, because he was in some pretty depths of discouragement there as this began. But as he began to count, as he began to reckon, as he began to hold on to what he knew about the Lord, his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy, his almighty power. That encourages me. When there's times that you see things and you wonder, you know, as far as man's concerned, it's never going to change. But we know that if God's pleased to do something about it, it could change. And I've changed my praying for our leaders here a little bit here lately. And I'm just asking the Lord to work through them and work for his own glory. You know, he can do that. And we know that there's a lot of people that's not going to praise the Lord now. But we also know there's coming a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, not Allah, not Muhammad, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Doesn't that rejoice your heart? To know that someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. How long? I don't know. How long? David asked four times, how long, O Lord? And sometimes we might ask, how long before we get an answer of something we're asking for? Until he's pleased to answer, hold on to what you know. Hold on to the fact that you know that God is good, that He is faithful, He's all powerful, that He loves us, that He's merciful, that He's gracious, and that we're one of His children. And He being all of those things, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's going to be with us. We may not always feel His presence like we want to, but He has a reason for that too. But bless your hearts, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. David was in an awful strait as he began this psalm. But he knew what he needed to do to be faithful to God. To remember God's goodness and to sing His praises. That'll help us go through our day. May God help us to remember this little 6-verse psalm, this lesson. It might help us tremendously someday. You never know. I know it's good for us. It just may be the very thing that we need to find encouragement someday in the future. Any questions or any comments? I know there's lots more could be said about it. Pardon?
Something doesn't leave your mind, you know, and something stays with you, then, and I got to thinking this morning how, with everything that's going on, how you can feel bad, but you don't know what's going on, and my mind went to the three Hebrew children, because we can have a fire that burns here, and this song right here that you've just gone over. I think at one time or another it's happened to every one of his children at one time or another.
Probably so.
But the key thing is he's there. He may not take the pain away, but he'll take the fear away to enable you to do it. And all I could think this morning was what a God we have. And I thought about it quite often. Mm-hmm. So, had I heard you, I would have. But this has a lot to do with
this
that we've had tonight.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And I think I've shared with you, I know we went through it when we were going through the Psalms, but there's one Psalm that David's down like this, and there's not a word of encouragement in that whole Psalm. He's down when you start, and he's down when you finish. Remember which one that is?
88.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 88. So, say they say misery loves company. Sometimes, if you're down in the dumps, you might find some consolation of that, knowing that David got there one time. But we also have a scripture that David encouraged himself in the Lord, and that's our remedy, isn't it? To encourage ourselves, to remember the goodness and mercy of the Lord. Anything else? Okay. Someone have a song you'd like to close with? Pardon? Okay. All right. Count. That's fine. Count your blessings. 437. Yeah, 437.